Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel and chapter 11. Good to see everyone here this evening, and those that of you that may be online, welcome to our Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study of the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. Last week, we looked at the fact that the exiles, the captives, the remnant, will be restored to the land. Restored to the land. And we looked at the fact that that took place in partiality under Zerubbabel in the days of Ezekiel and Nehemiah and those folks, 42,000 plus, returned to the land. But the full restoration, we said, is yet to come. It is yet future. Tonight we will be looking at more and more that is yet future. Tonight's point is God's grace and favor shall be bestowed upon them, upon the remnant of Israel, upon the exiles. This is something that God has told Ezekiel, and he is to tell it to the exiles in a way of encouragement. And this point will fall in verses 18 through 20. And I know these are the verses that you all have been waiting for us to get to, because they are verses that not only apply to the remnant of Israel, but they apply to anyone of whom the Lord's grace falls upon, even Gentiles as well. Verse 18, but it's concerning the remnant of Israel, the exiles. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, he did that for me. And praise the Lord, he did that for you if you are saved by grace through faith in this redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He assures them. He assures the exiles, the captives. He assures the remnant who are yet to experience this, of his gracious spirit and of his great mercy and blessings upon them. It's continued to be upon them. Many of those survivors of the day and time, in Ezekiel's day and time, and their posterity, their seed, Many have not realized it. But God has been good to them. God has blessed them. God has preserved them in the land where they have found themselves. And He continues to be with them today. God's grace will cause them to part, get this, to part with their great abominations. What were their great abominations? Those great abominations with which they provoked Him to. Well, it was predominantly idolatry. And because of their idolatry and their forsaking God, they became cruel and I would say mean, barbaric to their own people. Remember? The streets, their streets were full of innocent blood. They shed innocent blood. They shed innocent blood in the offering of sacrifice to their children. To those gods, which in fact are no gods. They were barbaric to their own countrymen. Harsh in their dealings one with another. He said, here in verse 18, he said, they shall come thither. That is those that we looked at last week. Those that are going to gather themselves together and they're going to gather themselves into the land to be restored. He says here in verse 18, they shall come further. All those that He is going to bring. They shall come thither. Those, whatever country they're in exile, in captivity, they are going to come thither. To where? Remember last week? To the land of Israel. Listen, that's where their heart is. That's where their love is. That's where they're longing for. The land of Israel. Many have gone back, but there are many that are not yet there. Not yet gone back. And that's where their longing is for and to. And they're going to go back one day. The Lord's going to bring them back. So, and especially His elect remnant, which we read about last week in Romans chapter 11. He's going to bring them back and to the land. Not those necessarily in Ezekiel's day, because they're not living yet today, and most of this prophecy was yet future. Yes, it was, as we said last week, was filled in partial, and probably some of them had passed on by the time it was fulfilled in partiality. 70 years at least from the beginning of that destruction of Jerusalem then in Ezekiel's day to the return under Zerubbabel that we read about. He said, they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. Remember that scene in the 8th chapter of Ezekiel? That scene that God showed to Ezekiel in the Spirit? And all those detestable things and all those abominable things that He showed to Ezekiel?
And they say, he said they were an abomination. He said that the image of jealousy. And he just went on from one abomination to another abomination to another abomination. All the people were guilty.
But these remnant, these that survived the famine and the pestilence and the sword, they are going to have a reformation. They're going to get rid of their abominable things. And so, probably, we could be safe in saying that since the captivity of Babylon, the Israelite, the remnant that were left, have not practiced idolatry as the bowing down to images and worshiping of images and worshiping the sun and the heavens and all of that. Anything that was created by God, they worshiped. But we know that self is an idol. Selfishness is an idol. We're all selfish to one degree or another. We know that that's an idol. So yes, they worship self. They have refused until the present day to believe in the God-man, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His redemptive work on the cross of Calvary.
But as far as the idolatry, the images of jealousy, the idols made with man's hands, that they were guilty of worshiping in the 8th chapter, we'd probably be safe in saying the majority of them as a whole have not done it since the Babylonian captivity. But not only were they guilty of idolatry, and that's being removed from them, cast out, but the wives which they had married of the countries, they sinned against God and marrying those wives of the countries which they found themselves into. They were guilty of not honoring the Sabbath day. All that had in the partial reformation, in the partial restoration to the land, that all had to be reformed under Ezra, under Nehemiah, and cast away. It had been, restoration had been accomplished, as we said, under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Haggai. The worship of God was restored in the days of Ezra, the priest, and Nehemiah. There was a reformation, but a greater fulfillment remains yet in the millennium, and as well as in the eternal ages. Turn with me your Bibles to the book of Ezra now. We read a good portion of scripture last week out of the book of Ezra. Turn with me to the book of Ezra in chapter 10. Ezra chapter 10, and I want to read probably about 17 verses here, beginning with
verse 1, just to let you see the reformation that took place here under Ezra. In the 9th chapter of the book of Ezra, Ezra had seen this going on, had seen their intermarrying. We would call it interracial marrying today. They had seen that they're bonding together with women and men that they had not been from the countries where they were. And he prayed to the Lord. He took it before the Lord. And that's where we ought to take it.
Amen.
We ought to take it to the Lord. And then after taking it to the Lord, then we find that Ezra went into action. In verse 1, now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law, according to the law of God, given to them at Mount Sinai, given to Moses, and Moses gave to the people. You see, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. So Ezra had here had some encouragement, some men standing behind him, prodding him on. Go for it. Take care of it. This is something we need to do. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests and the Levites and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. Notice, it was the chief priests and the Levites and all Israel. And all Israel. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib, and when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 10th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. To increase the trespass of Israel. Did you get that? Now, therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives.
Separate yourself from those strangers and separate yourself from the strange wives that you've taken unto yourself. Then all of the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. They didn't say, so will we do. They said, so must we do. They recognized that they must do it. If they wanted the blessings of God upon them, the blessings of the Lord upon them, they must do it. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, neither is this a work of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. And they said, there's a bunch of us that have transgressed in this matter. And you're going to find out it wasn't just, shall we say, the common people. It wasn't just the common people. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all of them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. They did not want the wrath of God any longer upon them because of this sin. Only Jonathan, the son of Ahaziah, and Jehaziah, the son of Tikva, were employed about this matter, and Meshulam, and Shabbethai, and the Levite helped them. And the children of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, with certain chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them, by their names, were separated, and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. They completed the task. They put them away from them. And if you read from verse 18 down through the rest of the chapter, and it lists the names of the priest and their sons who were guilty of the matter. So it wasn't just common folks, it was priests as well. Now turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And chapter 13. And again, we'll read a few verses here. In Nehemiah, we find that there was more that was taken care of besides just strange wives. In verse 1, on that day they read in the book of Moses, the law. In the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. All the mixed multitude. Wives, husbands, that they had married of the Ammonite and the Moabite. You see. And before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings,
the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priest. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, and it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense, and I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and their oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries Shelmiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan the son of Zachar, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful. And wonder why we use faithful men in the Lord's work today? Because that's the way of the Lord. And their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God, and for the officers thereof. And then he goes in to correcting the Sabbath. They were honoring the Sabbath. He notices that they're working on the Sabbath. And verse 19, he says, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. And all those people that had been going in on the Sabbath, now they're shut outside the gates. They got to wait till the Sabbath is over to come in. And so he takes care of that. And then verse 23 begins, he saw also that the Jews had married them wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And he takes care of that issue too, and put away the mixed multitudes of them. Now, this was during the partial restoration. In the full restoration, when they look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they bow in worship to Him as all the saved will worship Him. Amen. In that day. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah. And yes, Isaiah prophesied of that day. Isaiah chapter 62.
In verse 6, Isaiah 62 and verse 6, he says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That day's not here yet. It's coming. It's coming. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion. Notice that. He hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. And set the time. There is a time appointed only by him. You see. Behold, thy salvation cometh. He's talking to Jews. He's talking to the remnant. But he's talking to us too that are saved. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Concerning Jerusalem, a city not forsaken. Lord, Jerusalem will be made a praise throughout the whole earth. Now, one more. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah in chapter 8. And look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord that came to Zechariah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Remember the image of jealousy that we've been referencing? It went back in Ezekiel chapter 8 because of their great abominations. They had the image of jealousy there in the temple, in the courts and in the temple. And all the idolatry that was going on. With great fury, he said. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. He's forgotten his fury. He's returned to Zion. He's going to work with Zion again. And will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days,
should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. See, there he references the remnant of his people. He's talking about the elect remnant of his. And it's going to be marvelous in their eyes. It'll be marvelous in his eyes, he said. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I didn't have time to study that out, find out what that meant. The east country and the west country. Well, I think I know what the east country is. What's it talking about, the west country? We're known as the west. You see? Ah. Yeah, just food for thought. I got to study it out. Verse 8, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And you can read it back there in Revelation chapter 21, and they're dwelling in Jerusalem. We're dwelling in Jerusalem. Well, the Lord's bride is dwelling in Jerusalem. See why I want to be faithful? I want to be as faithful as I can be to the Lord. Not saying that. I consider myself to be faithful. I'm striving to be as faithful as I can be to the Lord. You see, the day is yet future. Yeah, it was a partial fulfillment in the days of Zerubbabel. But the full restoration is yet future. Well, we'll quit there tonight.